You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, the party they're gonna have out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
And here we go, Marco. Everybody, this is TJ Biscardi. We're going to have a nice, wonderful show this evening. We've got a few guests here. That one song just makes me start tapping my foot. It's been such a long time ago since we've heard that. That comes off the album Bigfoot Alive in 82. If you need to go get it, trust me, it's got some great music about Bigfoot on it. Well, I want to move right on out to our first guest in Pennsylvania. I met them yesterday. They gave me a call. They've got some wonderful action going on their property out there. The pictures are phenomenal. You guys go to our BigfootLiveRadioShow.com and you go into the press release. You'll see Kevin's pics. If you click on those, it's a PDF file. It'll bring up some of the pictures we're going to be talking about if you want to follow along. So I get a call from
Kevin.
And
just to let you know, TJ, Bruce is on. Bruce Schultz is on.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So I get an email from Kevin and his wife, Robin, today, and they're explaining to me that they've had some action on the property. They really want to know what's happening and going on. So they called us, you know, wanting to validate what's happening, and they wanted to show us the pictures. Without any introduction, I'm going to bring Kevin on into the conversation here. Kevin?
Yes, this is Kevin. Hello, how are you?
Outstanding, Kevin. Outstanding. Good. I'm going to get right into the meat and potatoes of this, Kevin. You know, you go ahead and tell people about where you live, how long you've been there, the property you have, and then we'll move into the pictures from there.
Okay. We live in Crawford County, just south of Erie, Pennsylvania. We live out on a big dirt road and tons of Amish people around us. Very little traffic, a lot of farmland, a lot of trees around us. We have a lot of woods. In fact, our place is so surrounded by trees, it's hard to even see our place from the road during the summertime. But we've been here about going on close to 4 years.
Okay. And within those 4 years you've been there, is this the first time you've had any kind of strange signs that were on your property?
No. Last year, we started hearing really crazy sounds in our pasture. We have horses out here, and we've been hearing some really hair-raising kind of sounds in our back of the barn and everything. One of our baby horses came up missing, and we had gone away on a vacation, and when we got back, we were calling the horses in. They all came in, but our baby, we went looking for her, and it was getting dark out, and we couldn't find her at first, and then my wife and daughter, my daughter's name is Amber, went out looking with me, and we started hearing these really eerie sounds, almost, I can't even describe how the sounds were. Like I said, it could almost raise the hair on your neck.
Sound, or was it a screech or a howl? What kind of sounds were eerie?
It's kind of a howly. It depended. It's hard to describe, really. It's part of it was high pitched and then went down to a lower pitch. Had a growly type of a sound, but it's something I really can't even figure out how to describe. Something I've never really heard before.
Okay, so you heard those.
And then when my wife and daughter were trying to help me find the baby horse, they could hear something heavy moving in the brush around them. It was almost like it was following them. But they tried to shine a flashlight in their area, and we couldn't see anything. When we finally found our little filly, we found her dead. I'm not saying whatever was out there did it. All we know is we found her dead. And so we called my landlord's family to help us so we could bring her back toward the barn. And even my landlord's son heard some sounds out in the woods beyond where we were. And he even asked what the noise was, and I told him I had no idea.
Wow.
That was last year, about this time.
And so it sounded to me, now let me just ask you, you've been raising horses for a few years, you know the diseases they get, what happens to things like that? Would you,
Feeling,
was there a predator, something take it down? Did you ever get a chance to look?
We saw no markings of any trauma to her. We were not positive. It's possible that maybe the mother might have stepped on her or something accidentally, and then she could have had something internal. We're not really sure, but we didn't see any broken bones. We saw no blood or anything else on her. We just happened to find her dead.
So you didn't call a vet to come out and check it and make sure everything's, you know, kosher?
No, I didn't, but I couldn't afford it at the time.
Oh, okay. I understand. Okay, so this is about August of last year. Now we're
fast
forward to August of this year. What caused you to go out into your pasture and find these phenomenal pictures? You know, these marks.
It was getting late. We have, like I said, several different horses here, and one of the horses that we have is a little miniature stallion, and we were bringing him from a little spot in our yard to bring him back into the barn, and it was about 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night. And I went out to get him to put him in the barn, and I started hearing these crazy sounds again. And my wife happened to come out on the porch, and she heard the sounds as well. The very next day, a friend of mine who has some of his horses here, he decided, well, why don't we see if we can find any signs of predators around, because he wasn't sure what the sounds could be either. And so we went through the pasture, and he happened to find the tracks that are in the pictures that we sent to you.
Okay, let me stop you real fast. The night before, what time was it when you heard the sounds?
Between about 9:30 and 10.
Okay. Go ahead.
At night.
So
and my pardon?
That's pretty much the typical time the creatures start coming out to feed and move around.
Okay. My wife one time, I wasn't feeling well, and I was in bed sleeping, and my wife stayed awake for a while. We had our window open. She said it was around 1 o'clock in the morning, and she heard sounds as well. She said it was a deep, howly type sound.
So I got to ask, because was it your neighbor that went out to help you look for predator signs?
When the filly died, my landlord's son came out with me.
Right.
Before that, it was a friend of mine who has some of his horses boarded at our place.
Okay. So when he
says Robert,
look for predators, he would obviously know what he's looking for, correct?
We were just trying to see whatever we could find. We weren't sure if maybe there might be a bear around, or we do have coyotes around here, but it did not sound like anything. The sound we heard didn't sound like anything we were familiar with.
So I'm guessing when you guys were out there the next day and you stumbled across these prints, what were you thinking the first time you saw them?
I thought it was a cool thing, because I thought, well, maybe with the horses out there, it could have been a horse track. But when we saw toe marks, and it almost looked similar to a human track, but it looked like three or four toes to the track. And then there was another picture that you might see there of what looks like a footprint in the grass.
Right.
We do believe that was another footprint. So when we tried to match the strides between the two, it was like 2 or 3 feet longer than our own stride to the next footprint.
So close to 60 inches or so, maybe 70 inches.
Pardon?
So 3 to 5 feet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the stride was about that.
Okay. Wow.
And then the one with the, my friend, his hand was there. We're trying to show a comparison of his hand to the size of the track.
Now, it looks to me as if his hand's probably 7 or 8 inches long, and then the track's probably another 4 or 5 inches taller than that.
Yeah, something like that.
Would that be accurate? Okay. So we're looking at a creature probably in the close to 200 to 300-pound range, not one of the large ones, might be even a juvenile or a female.
That's what we were wondering.
Okay, based on that. Now, when you were looking at the toes, and I know it's hard to check in the pictures, I'm seeing kind of a big toe, then a little toe close to it, and then maybe just two more toes, so it only had four toes, or was it just the way it was kind of digging in the mud there?
Kind of looked a possibility of four toes, but one track was a little hard to tell, but it might have been two toes right next to each other, and the other ones were a little bit more separated.
Right.
It looked almost a possibility of three toes, but I think it might have been four.
So what were you thinking when you and your friend, Robert, found these? What was going through your mind?
It was confusing because my friend, years ago, he was in the military, and he and a bunch of his friends were just north in the North California area where they were stationed before they went overseas. And he said at one time that he had seen a large biped man-looking hairy man or whatever with him and his military buddies. And they felt maybe not to say anything because people would think they're not right in the head. And especially being military people, they didn't want to have people question them. So when he saw the tracks, he mentioned that it could be like a type of Bigfoot over here. And so we started trying to find people like you guys who would be able to help us figure out whether it was some kind of a creature like that.
Right. Well, you know, looking at your pictures, you've got something there. And what if you folks are following along, go into press releases, and I want you to also see what he found on his property near the tracks, off near the wood line. Now, I'm looking at the one picture with one, two, three, four trees that have been snapped or twisted off, and I'm guessing between 4 and 6 feet tall. Is that correct?
I couldn't understand fully what you said about. I heard about the 4 or 5 trees. I couldn't hear the other part.
Off one direction, pointing in one direction.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
We've heard people say that sometimes if there's a creature like that, they might mark territory or something by bending trees. I know other ape things make nests by using branches and stuff. But it was kind of odd to us. It wasn't like they were cut. It was like they were pulled down. They seem to be quite tall. You know, I didn't get a chance to send a picture of my friend standing next to the trees. Mm-hmm. We did take some, and I didn't get a chance to send it. I'm sorry. But I had him stand next to it, and at least two of the trees were taller than him where they were bent over. The other one was about his height or a little tiny bit shorter than him.
Now, have you ever seen kind of tree formations or breaks on your property before, Kevin?
No.
Okay. You know, when people call us and they, you know, they give us their stories, they give us pictures, a lot of them, let me frankly, are sometimes, you know, misidentified. But when you send pictures of footprints and then there's tree breaks on your property, you're pretty bona fide, folks. You know, we want to have like three of the I call it Bigfoot Holy Grail. That's prints, breaks, or a creature. If you got all three, that's the Holy Trinity there. You've got two of them, okay, which is telling me that you probably have the creature on your property or migrating through, since you said this was last year was when this happened, about August, and it's happening again now. So
right.
And they're probably moving north, if not, you know, habituating on your property to get to cooler grounds.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, the second page, is that just a different angle of the tree breaks?
That all the trees that I see that have been broken are all in that same direction. There is one other tree that I think wind broke over, going in the opposite direction, and it's a whole lot thicker. I know we do get storms around here.
Yeah.
And but I just, you know, the fact that these trees here were all about the same same thickness, about this close to the same height, and all broke in the same direction, I just thought it was a little weird.
Now, let me ask you, what brought you to these trees? Were the tracks going in that direction? Is that how you got there? Or
they weren't going in that direction, but they were maybe 5 yards maybe away from them.
Okay. So where is the point of the trees pointing towards? Have you got behind the trees? You can't look at them and see where they're pointing towards?
They're going in the direction of our house and barn.
Hmm. Now, you've heard stuff about your barn before, you told me.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Another thing, if you want, like, a direction, I would say they're going in a southerly direction with the fall. I'm kind of guessing about I think that direction is south. So if that's what you're looking for, I believe they're all bent and going towards south.
Does it lead into more vegetation, tree-lined forest area?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Outstanding. That's making get me excited here, Kevin. You know? I wish we would have got this call before we got off the road, because we just pulled right in. A couple of days ago, I told you to bait an area. Did you get a chance to do that?
Yeah, we did that this morning.
Oh, okay. So
my daughter and I went out this morning. We only put a couple of cans out with the peanut butter that you mentioned, and we have it on real thin branches so that no larger critters can climb out there to get it, and we used a ladder to get up high enough to try to tie it up to the branch.
Outstanding. So you folks know what we're talking about. We have a little special way of baiting an area that will prove that it's either a creature digging our bait or somebody on the ladder, but nothing else. And basically what we're doing is we're hanging pop cans smothered in peanut butter, because sometimes you put sardines into that peanut butter. We're going to hang them out from a tall tree in a thin branch far enough out to where nothing can grab it and pull it in. Something would have to come up, grab it, and pluck it off like a piece of fruit. And that would basically be footprints on the ground. And they usually take the can and move it off, and it's usually empty. But you're all set. We've got your picture ready. If have you heard anything since we talked?
Only one other time.
Mm-hmm.
It was only one other time, probably 2 or 3 days ago. But the other stuff happened about a little bit more than a week ago.
Right. Now, I think I might have forgot to mention this. Have you gone and tried to wood knock or tree knock in your area? Have you ever heard of wood hit wood before?
I have heard it at least twice. During hunting season, opening day of deer season, I did get a deer opening day. And I figured as long as I got a deer, I didn't need to worry about hunting deer anymore. So I went out to hunt small game. And while I was waiting by a tree, I heard a single knock. And then maybe 5 minutes later, I heard one other knock. And after that, I hadn't heard any others.
Wow.
And
wow.
My daughter said that she heard something during the day, but I don't know exactly what it was, if it was another knock or not.
Mm-hmm. I mean, tree knocks, tree breaks, creature howling, prints. You've got something happening there. Either it's in the migrational path or their habitat, and they found a place where they can just come and feel safe, because you're obviously not threatening them, correct?
We try not to be. We like the wildlife, even though I like to hunt. A lot of the times I just like to be out in the woods.
Wow.
I really hate the thought of harming anything, but when it comes to hunting season, my family were always hunters. And so I try to carry on that. Now, so it helps you supply more food for the winter.
Well, Kevin, your story is phenomenal. The picture you sent us just indicate everything you're saying. And one of our next spots we're going to be coming to, most likely in September. But I want you to keep the bait station up. As soon as you get something hitting those bait stations, you need to let me know.
Sure will.
Try to send out some game cams to you if the bait stations are getting hit, and that way you can get pictures of seeing what's hitting them. What I would also is going out in the middle of the night, probably after 10 o'clock at night, and do some tree knocking and see if you get any responses back. Maybe the creature will like I said, it likes
you. Okay, I'll try it and see what happens.
Outstanding. I want to thank you for coming on the show. You've got my number. Stick with me, and you say hi to your wonderful wife for me. And Marco, we'll go to break, and as soon as we get back, we'll pick up with Bruce Schulte.
Here we go.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. You can just meet yourself up.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else. www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we're back.
All righty. My next guest, folks, is going to be Bruce Schulte from the Blackfeet Nation, who we saw last week, a couple weeks ago. We were invited up to their land for the creature. Been having a lot of action. And
just so you know, Theron is also on from the Choctaw Nation in Mississippi.
Bruce, you there?
Bruce. Yeah, I'm here.
All right, buddy. How's things going?
Things are going pretty good. Yeah.
So I hear there's some new action going on up in your area.
Just last week when I was when we were at the store there, this rancher, he said he had some footprints in the field down there. We haven't had a chance to go see them, but that was down in Hart Butte. I believe you guys were in the truck there when I was talking to him. And
I remember.
Yeah. And last week, or not, last fall, Tony Ray seen a Bigfoot at Kiowa Camp. That's about a mile from the house here. And she called me and told me to come down and look at it. But when I got there, it was already gone. And a couple more miles from there, last fall when I was coming home, there was I spotted two Bigfoot up on the mountain there, and never get a chance to get a picture or stop and even see them because I was on the Looking Glass Road. It's too.
Hold on, whoa! Did you say Looking Glass Road?
Yeah.
Because I got a call, this morning, west of town, in the area of Looking Glass Road, about 8 p.m. last night, somebody saw Bigfoot, and there was yells coming out of the area, nothing like they've ever heard before. And, wow, so that's amazing.
Yeah, they're around here, you know, they're all over here, but, you know, you just you don't see them too often, you know, but you can hear them, and they leave a lot of footprints and stuff. And you know that road, that Star School Road where we came up, they go down that creek there. And,
yeah, Bigfoot Alley.
Got some footprint plaster cast along that creek there from a couple years ago.
Well, you know, folks, I want to tell you something. You know, when I was up there with Bruce and the rest of the gang here, you know, Bruce took us to a sacred spot that was on their reservation that they usually don't show to everybody, that they keep, you know, to themselves, and it's all wooded off, cordoned off, because there's a footprint in rock, probably, I'm guessing, you know, prehistoric, 10,000 years ago or whatever it was, that is turned into rock, solid rock nowadays. That just proves that you can, you know, that something, this creature has been traveling this earth for years and generations, and comes far back as those days. You know what I'm talking about, Bruce?
Yeah, that's true. You know, they're a supernatural being, you know, but they're got a physical form, and you know, I don't know too much about them, but you know, they're real, whatever they are.
Well, they leave footprints. Yeah. You know, ghosts don't leave footprints, you know, but physical form creature leaves a footprint. And this track is what's going to give them away.
Yep. Yeah, you know? I don't know. You can spot them here and there, you know. You can never get up on them, you know, or walk up on them. Not around here, you can't. There's a lot of people that, you know, had encounters and stuff around here. And even I've been invited to sweats where they can call them in when they're in the sweat praying and stuff. They can call that Bigfoot into the sweat. You know, it's just a spiritual part of them, you know. But they invited me, but I study the Bible, and I, you know, the Indian tradition is theirs, you know. And
it's amazing up there, Bruce. You know, this is the second time I got to come up to the Blackfeet Nation and be with you and your family and research the area and talk to the people. And, well, pretty much everybody had a story, you know, about the creature. And, you know, it was more of a matter of fact. You know, they've been around for thousands of years. And, you know, you're silly just to think that you're the only person on this planet, you know, is what kind of responses I would get from people. And it's amazing. It's amazing up there where these creatures could move through the area and never be seen, never, you know. But if they make the noise, you're going to hear them echoing through them valleys.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Me and Tony, we heard some noises coming out of that looking glass area. And I was going out to the car to get a letter or something out of the car, and I heard that noise, and I was standing out there about 15 minutes. So Donna said, she told Tony, Ray, go out and see what your dad's doing out there. He's been gone too long. So she came out, and she said, what you doing? Mom wants that letter. And I said, well, I'm listening to this Bigfoot. He's howling way up in that, by Looking Glass there. I said, listen. And she started listening. Then pretty soon we was out there for about a half hour, you know. And
beautiful.
And, you know, Kevin, I think it was, is it Kevin, the one with the colt that died?
Uh-huh.
That
was Kevin.
I heard another story from one of my relatives, my close little brothers. I used to live with him, but when he was 8 years old, him and his dad used to go back on the mountain back there where I showed you, and there's wild goats up there, and they used to poach in the wintertime. And when they was going up to the mountain there, they found this grizzly bear. He was dead. He was a young grizzly, maybe a three-year-old, something like that. But he had a nice hide on him. So they were looking all over. They was wondering what killed him.
Yeah, I mean, what kind of predator does a grizzly bear have?
You know, that's what I was saying. You know, they skinned him, and when they got up to his neck was busted. So, you know, I don't know, he might have been trying to take food out of a Bigfoot mouth or something, you know. And,
oh, yeah, possibly. You know, you hear stories of hunters that are just out in the woods, and they're, you know, they're tracking a deer or a bear, and as they're following and tracking this creature, they start to think of the feel that something's watching them. And when they finally see a deer, the hunter sitting looking through his scope, and he's looking down range, and then he sees a Bigfoot creature in there, looking like he's tracking the deer that the hunter's tracking. I mean, it blows me away. And by the way, folks, speaking of hunting, okay, if you're ever in Indiana and you get a chance to come down to Jeffersonville, you need to run into Golden Treasures down off of 10th Street and see Elijah. They've got all the hunting gear that a hunter needs. They got weapons, ammunition, the best prices in town, folks. I mean, there was a 9mm. It was an LS9. I think Pro, he was selling for $145, which normally goes for $260 in most other stores, okay? $300. I think Rocky ended up paying $500 for his with his laser on it. So when you're down here, you're in Indiana, and you're cruising through Jeffersonville, know that the Bigfoot hunters stop into Eliza's Golden Treasures there on 10th Street. They pick up their ammo and their weapons, and hey, if you want to buy coins, he's got that stuff too. Now, Bruce, I want to say thank you for coming back on. And, you know, it was great up there seeing you here last week. It was a wonderful time meeting new friends that we met. And, you know, just stick on and, listen to the rest of the show.
Okay, I will.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye.
Now,
huh?
Bye, Bruce. Now, folks, we're going to move on to actually the Choctaw Nation in Mississippi, and we're going to go out and visit our old friend Theron. Theron, you still out there?
Yes, I'm right here.
Oh, great to hear you, Theron. So I hear there's been a lot of action going on down by bound by you.
Well, not as many action as it were about 4 years ago, but there's still activities. I just talked to a friend of mine last week, and he said that there's been some howling and some growling. It starts around 8 o'clock at night, the howling and growling and yelling, it goes on for a long, long time. So it's been like that just about every night. So he said his mom got a camera, kind of cameras you put on the trees, you know.
The game cameras?
Game cameras, yeah.
Right.
So they were thinking it was some animal on four feet, so they put that camera kind of low.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever they went and retrieved the camera, they found the they saw what the camera picked up was two. It was a big hairy leg walking by.
Big hairy leg, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's been we've had some Bigfoot activities here and there. It's not in a area like it was 4 years ago, because these group of Bigfoots were living behind my mother's house for a long time. But they seem to be here and there, and we hear about it, and some people see it, have encounters with it, and they don't let me know till 2-3 weeks later, you know. So we still
sure.
got activity here, and the strange thing about it is they're not seeing it in the woods or out in country roads. They're seeing it around the neighborhood, you know, walking behind people's backyards. And we have at least 300 homes in this particular area. And they're just walking around, you know, and 4 months
ago. You heard Bruce, you know, from up there at the Blackfeet Nation, you know, and you're hearing the same thing from you. You know, these creatures, they feel comfortable around the reservations, you know, moving through and around. Why do you think that is?
Well, for one thing, you know, nobody wants it harmed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of folks know that it exists. And, for example, my mother said, if it's been here all the time, you know, and they're more like human beings and they got a wife and they got children, you know, all they want to do is survive. Why kill it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the consensus of the people.
Right. Well,
and,
I mean, the Indian people have been on this plot of earth here longer than we have been over here. You know,
right.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, like I was telling Bruce earlier, you know, I hear the same story in every reservation I go to. And then when I bring up Bigfoot, they look at me like, oh, silly white man, you don't know nothing. These creatures have been here forever, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And you're just now realizing it, you know.
Yeah, well, they seem to have some kind of supernatural thing going on them, you know. And I've heard of people talking about they can appear and disappear at will. And
you believe that?
I believe that somewhat because we had a video of it, and I believe Tom Biscardi saw it, the video that we had,
mm-hmm.
and it was standing there for about a minute. It was, the video was about a minute long, and it was standing there, and it turned around and started walking back. It seemed to just disappear into thin air. And
you know, I don't know about the supernatural stuff, and I respect
mm-hmm.
how you think, because
mm-hmm.
I see stuff and it leaves a footprint in the ground. Now
mm-hmm.
that could be way wrong. To me, that's not supernatural. When I want to talk about supernatural, I'm thinking
mm-hmm.
like, you know, ghosts and apparitions that people talk about. That's not what you're speaking about, right?
Well, you know, it's physical. You know, it seems like you know, some physical thing cannot just disappear in a thin air, but it just seems to me that it did in the video, and people say they can, you know, the people around here said they can actually disappear, that he can be walking right beside you and you wouldn't even know, and all that stuff, you know. And I'm cityfied. I grew up in a big city, and you know, I'm
mm-hmm.
not, you know, I was like, well, you know. These folks are just superstitious, you know, but what I saw, you know, I'm thinking these things can disappear and appear at will, you know. It's just a strange feeling.
When you say disappear, could it be like a chameleon effect, like a chameleon disappears into its background?
It may be, but it just seemed like it just kind of disappeared in thin air, you know, and it was on video, and we had two videos here, and Tom saw one, and me and Mac Jackson went around the woods in that area, and Mac Jackson got a video of it some weeks later. And I didn't know that we were so close to it because I turned around and walked back to the car while he was filming the lair that we found.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, the creature was beyond the lair looking at us, you know, standing there. He was so focused on him in the lair that he didn't even notice the creature standing beyond it. And
when you're out looking for the creatures there, you got to keep your eyes and ears open. You got to be able to to see out of your peripheral because you never know what's kind of hanging around that tree, whether it's the creature or some other wild animal. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. It's fantastic. You know, it was awesome, you know. Anyway, the guy that
awesome.
Whose mother got the picture of the legs, he said there may be some kind of light that's associated with it, like a spot, a light, a orb, or something like that.
Oh,
and,
wow.
I saw one myself. It was bright red coming through the woods around my mama's house 4 years ago. And it just all of a sudden appeared. It was bright red, round light, and it glided to the right and then glided back to the left and slowly disappeared, you know. And we had all that Bigfoot activity for a couple of weeks, you know. And my mother saw it, my niece saw it, my sister seen it many times. And I only saw Bigfoot in 1972, and that's the only time I saw it, you know. But I've heard it. Yep. It goes, ooh, you know, as long as I heard it twice that week when it started to appear around my mom's house. But what I want to tell you is 4 months ago, my mom
we need to wrap it up. I got about a minute left with you, Theron, and then I got to move on to Rocky in Arkansas, okay?
Okay, well, the two casinos that we have, Kyle's been there. My friend of mine was sitting there in the parking lot, and he noticed something walking by, so he looked up, and there was this big, tall creature walking beside his car while his car was parked, and he looked up and saw it, and the creature turned around and looked at him through the window, and in the casino parking lot. So that's incredible, but yeah.
It is. Now, Theron, why don't you go ahead and just listen on in, and I'm going to go ahead and we're going to move off to the Deputy Sheriff Rocky in Arkansas.
He's not on.
Oh, he's not. Okay.
He didn't dial in. I tried to get a hold of him a couple of times, and his phone was busy.
No
so
problem.
I'm not sure what.
Anyway, can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can still hear you, Theron.
Well, I'm hopefully in the future here, the Bigfoot research company headed by Tom can come here and do some more research. I believe that if they stay here long enough, maybe a few more days more, I believe they can get something here, you know.
I guarantee it, Theron. Next time we're going out here in September, I'm going to put you on the list.
Okay, well, you know, we'll be looking forward to seeing you, and we'll go around I got some other reports, but I can't think of it right now because there's several people had talked to me, and a lot of times I don't know who these people are. They call at my office, or they call my telephone number, and sometimes they'll give me their names, but I don't know who they are. But
well, good. Save them for another show for us.
Yeah.
Save them for another show. Collect them.
Yeah.
And I got to move on to a commercial break.
Okay.
I
want to
thank you again, Theron.
I can take off. You tell Tom. Tom, say I say hello.
I will, Theron. Thank you, Marco. Let's go to commercial.
1967. My whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we at this time in our history had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Bigfoot Lives, a movie, at www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we're back, and Rocky is on there, TJ.
Oh, Rocky, how are you?
Yes, sir. I'm doing fine.
Outstanding. You know, I got to hear your encounter with the creature from Rocky Slavens in Arkansas. So I'll be calling him Rocky Slavens, and you're just Rocky, okay, so we don't get them mixed up here.
That'll be fine.
Awesome. Why don't you go ahead and tell people in my audience about your background and where you're living at, and then pull into your story. What happened?
I live in north central Arkansas in the Ozark Mountains. I'm in my late 30s, been working all my life, traveled the country working, also worked part-time as a deputy sheriff. And what happened last Saturday evening, I was headed back from Louisiana back to north central Arkansas, and I was on the phone with my wife and mother-in-law, and we were talking about the Bible and scripture and different things with the Bible and the seven dispensations and this, that, and the other. And at 12:04 a.m., I was central part of Arkansas on a two-lane road. I was the only vehicle out there. Of course, it was, you know, late at night, after midnight. And as I was coming up on the four-lane interchange, I was sitting there with cruise control on, talking to my wife and mother-in-law, and had my foot propped up on the cover over the transmission, and all of a sudden I saw a two-legged creature, probably 7.5 to 8 foot tall, make two strides right out in front of me. It almost looked like he was going to run into my vehicle. Didn't have time to react, threw the phone down. My mother-in-law and wife were concerned of what was going on, and I didn't know. It shocked me. I was in pure shock. I thought I was going to hit the creature. I was bracing for impact, and
right.
I'm surprised I did not hit this creature. It was so large that its hind leg and buttocks were higher than my driver's side headlight, and it was probably within a foot of my driver's side headlight as I was traveling 65 miles an hour.
Wow.
But before I could even get to the brakes, I could have swore I was going to hit it, and I didn't hit it. That's what amazed me more than anything. And as I passed, I hit my brake lights to illuminate the road behind me, as I usually do as a deputy, if I need to see mm-hmm. something going on that I passed, and looked in my mm-hmm. rearview mirror, and I saw nothing. But then I had another 2.5 hour ride, so I had my mother-in-law search if there'd been Bigfoot sightings in the area and this, that, and other on the internet, and I didn't know where I was. So I got off the phone real quick and dropped a pin on a map on my smartphone so I could remember exactly where the incident occurred. But mm-hmm. It's a day I'll never forget. I was always a skeptic, been a hunter all my life in the woods. All over Arkansas and all over the South, I've traveled 70,000 miles a year, and I've never seen anything like this. And to this day, I'm still astonished and amazed at what I saw.
Welcome to the world of Bigfoot. Now you're a believer because you've seen it with your own two eyes. You know,
yes,
all these people out there that are, you know, you've heard about and you thought they're probably crazy. Now you're one of us now. You
of
get
course.
To wear the badge of honor.
Of course, my mother-in-law said, well, you should call somebody. You should call the police. And I was like, no, because I know what I would do if I was to come up on a call like that. So, I mean, you know, hopefully one day that light will be shined and people become aware of what's going on, maybe by the capture of a creature or some evidence that comes about. But I did see one. I know what I saw. Wasn't mistaken for any other animal. It scared me to death, and I'm surprised it didn't hit it. So that's my story.
You know, this coming from a deputy sheriff, you're trained to look at something and figure out the height and the weight and all that. Isn't that correct? Isn't that what you guys are trained to do?
Yes, sir. We're trained to be aware of our surroundings at all times. And you never know when you may have to testify on something you saw. So, yes, we are trained.
Wow. You know, that's just I'm amazed by the story. And you said you got it pin marked on your phone so you know exactly where that happened at?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. I'd love to, on our next trip out, get with you, hopefully, and get out to that area. You know, I just, honestly, I mean, not to say it, I wish you would have hit it. You know, then that we have proof, you know. You know, then there's the proof, you know.
Well, when you live in Arkansas, we have so many deer. I have a brush guard on the front of my truck just for that reason. I mean, you know, that's the reason why insurance rates are so expensive here, because everybody gets deer. So, you know, we try to avoid hitting anything because our vehicles stay in the shop all the time from hitting animals. But I didn't have time to avoid it. It was less than a second, maybe a second and a quarter of a second. And that's how quick this animal moved. I mean, it was ridiculous how fast this creature was. It was faster than any deer I ever saw.
You said it was a two-lane road, so it was probably 16 feet?
Yeah, it was a wide two-lane road. It's coming up on the four-lane where it actually merged into four-lane.
Do you remember how many steps it took, by chance?
Maybe two. On its second step when it was at my driver's side headlight. And when I noticed it was just getting on to the actual shoulder. So that's what I noticed.
So you're on the left side. Gotcha.
No, I was on the right side of the highway. I mean, I was in my lane, but, you know, the shoulders out here are about 5-6 foot wide. I noticed it on the shoulder, and it took two steps, and it almost looked like he was going to walk right into my truck. I didn't even have time to get my foot down from the transmission cover to the brake. By the time I got there, you know, and I was just bracing for impact because I knew I was going to hit it, but I didn't, and that's what surprised me.
Wow.
But it scared me to death. It really did.
You know, that's the way it happens, you know, out of just happenstance, out of circumstances that you're not expecting it, that's when you see this creature. And that's how most people become believers. Like I said, I'd like to welcome you to the world of Bigfoot. And, you know, we got Rocky Slavens out there. He's our contact. And he's probably going to hook up with you here with the next week or so and try to get out to that area if you're still wanting to do that.
Sure. And another thing that really surprised me, too, to add to this, is I looked at the map and I looked at the satellite image of where I was, and there's no trees. There's fields, and there's a bayou or a creek or whatever you want to call it, but around here they call them bayous and creeks. There's a bayou there that has this tree lined with large trees, but there was a lot of fields around that area. I couldn't quite grasp why, when, where, or how. And then why, you know, this elusive creature that nobody's able to capture would jump out in front of my vehicle and commit suicide. That's what I don't understand.
Well, you know, they're elusive for a reason. They don't want to be found. And, you know, they move at night. And at that time of night, like you said, you're the only car on the road. Most people are in bed sleeping. They could move through their backyard. They would have never known. You know? And these creatures, they know to hide. They know when to come out and play and when to hunt and to feed. And they're not
cuddly.
They travel and feed at night.
And they know how to beat a vehicle, I'll tell you that. They know how fast they are. So
awesome. Hey, Rocky, I want to say thank you for coming on tonight. It was a fantastic encounter that you had. Like I said, we're going to try to hook up with you probably in September, and Rocky will probably be out there before that. And once again, I want to say thank you for being on the show. And, folks, we're coming to that end of time. I want to thank you for coming to the Bigfoot Live radio show. Next week we'll be surprise packed with more guests for you and more stories. Stick with us.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long.
We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. We brought them together, reason for the facts.